Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank.
Good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Good to see you, man. Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
Everything is good. As usual, a lot of nutty stuff in the big world out there. So let's get right to it. So our president, I believe his name is Biden.
Donald Trump, right?
I know. That's why I had to think about it.
Joe Biden sure as hell ain't my president. That's for damn sure.
AKA the puppet in chief. How about that?
Got it.
So every year we have what's called the National Day of Prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Happened a few days ago.
Sure.
So for the very first time, very first president to omit the word God from the proclamation.
No way.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. So as a puppet, and this just goes and ties into the whole thing for anybody who thought, well, Joe Biden's a moderate. You don't have to get all wound up about him, all you Republicans, right?
Right.
So obviously he's controlled by the far left.
Yeah.
They whispered, hey, Joe,
don't mention
the word God
because
we don't want to offend blah, blah, blah. We don't want you to go out on a limb and actually say we're a Christian nation.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just it's totally insane. Like you said, he's a total empty suit. He's a card carrying Catholic. Oh, by the way, who believes in abortion and supports, you know, Planned Parenthood and sends money to Planned Parenthood to kill babies. So, yeah. So you're a real Catholic, Joe. Like, I mean, give me a total break. I mean, it's actually, dude, no surprise that the word God is left out of, you know, it's sickening, but it's no surprise.
Yeah. Everything he's done has been predicted. I mean, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. November and December. We knew what was coming. And you say, well, this is happening faster than we thought it would. But literally within, 3 months, the amount of damage he's done. A terrible jobs report last week also, by the
way. Huge, terrible jobs report. We talked about this as Obama's third term. It's all his old staff. It's really in the White House. And across all cabinet functions and so forth. So, and I had this conversation, we had a dinner party over here at the house last night, and we're talking about this exact thing. And this is basically, they have a very limited time window, right? I mean, before we get like revving up for the 2022 midterms, they've got a very limited legislative window to push all this stuff through, whether it's gun control or the, you know, and by the way, just a little bit of an aside, that, you know, you have to be fearful when the liberals name certain bills. Here's the takeaway for people. If the liberals name bills with really nice names, you know they're really bad. If they name bills that are really bad, you know they're great for us. Okay. So I'll give you an example. Right, sure. So like they're trying to pass this Equality Act right now. Oh, Equality Act. How can any, it's the Equality Act. It sounds so lovely, but it basically guts everything in terms of freedoms and so forth in reality. So you can kind of go through each and every legislative package that's sitting out there. If it's got a beautiful, nice name, run as fast as you can away from it.
Well, that ties into the whole Orwellian thing and about using words to, make an image of it being one thing, but really it's completely something
else. Well said. Exactly.
And that goes back decades. They've been playing that game for a long, long time. Now, before we get excited about 2022 already, it's like, can it come soon enough?
No.
You can't. every day is a partial nightmare out there. You got some interesting news out of Michigan, and I want to tie that into what's happening now and how every state now really needs to shape up as far as making sure we have accountability and that every legal vote counts. So what was the latest thing you found there, Frank?
So Dave, just for our listeners to know, literally in the last several weeks, couple of months, I want to say about 20 states have passed a whole raft of new laws to totally tighten up their voting systems and the laws around their voting system. So this is essentially basically being done so that we don't have a repeat of the last election, whether it's with the Dominion machines, the mail-in balloting, signature verification, and so forth. All of that stuff is being completely culled and put into proper place. So we don't have mass universal mail-in balloting. And in fact, my mom of all people said it best to me the other day. You know, she said, this is really a classic example of where the framers made total sense. It's a state's right situation. You have 50 individual elections. You don't have one federal election, which I'm sure the libs would love, but you actually have 50 individual elections. So these states need to control their destiny. So on that topic, I was just picking up on from the desk of DJT the other day, and he put out a piece, and this is no surprise, you know, based on what we know about the six swing states in the last election. But here's the thing. And this is directly from his blog. At 6:31 in the morning on November 4th, a dump of 149,772 votes came into the state of Michigan. Biden received 96% of those votes, and the state miraculously went to him that morning. So, dude, I mean, it's just basically impossible, right? We know that. We know this thing, this same sort of thing happened with Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia and Arizona. I know now we're doing the full blown, I know you're going to get into this in a second, the full blown audit in Maricopa County in Arizona, which is really the tip of the spear and why the Democrats are so fearful of this. They sent 1,000 lawyers to Maricopa County in Arizona to fight this. Biden's inserted the DOJ into the mix. What's new on that front from your perspective? What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's amazing that we're looking at 6 months after the fact, and we're finally getting just one single county to do a true recount. And those SOBs that run the Maricopa show over there are refusing to give us the passwords so that we can actually look at the Dominion machines and see what they actually say. Right. Oh, we've lost the passwords. Well, how did you find them? How did you count them in November? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's the total. Them. Exactly. And that's the total joke. And so for friends of the show, we know we love Salty Cracker out on YouTube. Actually not YouTube. I shouldn't say that. Don't watch him. He's not on YouTube anymore. Go to Odyssey or BitChute or Rumble to watch Salty. But he covered this topic really great the other day, and I was listening to his live stream, and basically you're exactly right, because they've had two, all the libtards are basically saying, guys, you know, far right people, you've already had two audits, why do you need a third? The first two audits, we recounted everything, and there's fine, there's nothing to see here, no problem. Well, if you already had two audits, why in the third can't you find the passwords to get to the back of the machines to find out exactly what was going on? The city council will say, wait, we don't have no passwords. We don't have no passwords.
We have no sticky passwords.
Well, then how did you do the first two audits then? How does that work exactly?
So as it sits now, they're pushing forward. So the state Senate is controlled by Republicans. It's kind of a split state, unfortunately, at this point. Hmm. So by subpoena, the state Senate now has possession of 2.1 million ballots and nearly 400 election machines.
Okay.
So that was audited. That has to happen now. And like you said, they were saying, we can't get into those 400 machines without the passwords. Oh, so they're still working on that. And then there, of course, there's going to be 2.1 million actual ballots that will have to be hand counted again. And you know, obviously we're going to find things are going to probably end up rolling in our favor on that.
Yeah.
And that's just one county out of the hundreds that had discrepancies in November.
I got to give it to the libs though, of all the fail safes, right? It's like we get this far with getting the proper audit, and it all comes down to some bonehead doesn't have the passwords or supposedly or whatever. And of all the technology, right? Apple, all these incredible, you can decrypt anything, but you can't open up a Dominion machine. I mean, these things had open-ended routers to the internet. I mean, this is how they got corrupted in the first place. And you're telling me you can't figure this shit out?
So, it's so far we're getting some good news, and we've got another 12 months to kind of get this ship shape
before something like
2022
that.
Hits, give or take. So every day you got to hopefully the people on the ground are making things happen. So
exactly.
Speaking of some more misinformation, remember for a couple months there was every other story on the nightly news, there's hate crimes against Asians.
Oh yeah.
And they tried to immediately spin that if there's some, it's the cabal of.
Well, this all started with the gunfire in the massage parlor. And then right away, every Asian person I knew basically put the little Facebook frame around their head, like I'm against Asian hate crime. Well, none of us support that. I mean, come on.
But it's amazing how the narrative quickly fell apart, because when they did, 5 minutes of research, including the most recent attacks, have all been committed by Black men.
Totally. Yeah.
So the last two, and these are horrific. There's two elderly Asian women sitting on a subway, a platform in San Francisco.
Yeah.
This freaking moron, a-hole, stabs them from behind for like no reason.
Yep.
And then there's another, just about 5 days ago, another female Asian in a liquor store was hit on the head with a cinder block.
No, it's totally correct.
Horrendous.
And look, the very simple thing here, folks, for our listeners at home, the narrative falls apart when the truth comes out. And the truth is that these blacks who are, drug dealers, convicted felons, they're not responding to lawful orders in all the cases where they've been arrested or chased down or whatever, they're committing 90% of the of the crime. They're 90% of the people in prisons. They're committing 90% of the crime on Asians. So this whole storyline that there's a bunch of white people out there, you know, like, you know, Southern, you know, redneck whites with AR-15s hunting down Asians is just such a ridiculous
joke. Because I know everybody that lives down there in Mobile, Alabama is going to go right to San Francisco and New York and start attacking Asians.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening. Anybody who knows or has been around, just walk down any street in San Francisco and you see these whack job homeless people, most of the, almost all the time black. And they've been given handouts by the city and the county, and they're attacking people. And what you just described is exactly true. And it's awful. But it's, you know,
that's why they basically, that story has kind of moved off the headlines.
That's right. Yeah. It's not working for them.
It's not working for them. So move, nothing to see here. Move along.
Move along. Yeah.
And speaking of moving along, the whole George Floyd trial has come and gone, although there's still a lot of blowback, and heaven forbid, somebody actually say, you know what, if George Floyd, who was just about to die from a drug overdose, he might still be alive if he actually complied with the Minneapolis police during his arrest.
Sounds common sense.
That's some pretty common sense. So high school teacher fired, canceled.
No.
Just last week up in Fairbanks, Alaska.
For saying that?
For saying that. So saying, you know what, he would probably still be, yeah, no kidding, he'd still be alive.
Might still be alive if he didn't take that last crack of fentanyl order that he had as well.
Yeah, I know, yeah, they have one more injection of fentanyl there, or one more pill or whatever it might be. So it goes on and on, but you know, it's especially if you work in the public sector.
Right.
If you have one little hair over that line of what's considered the woke narrative, you're canceled.
Yeah, totally. Canceled, job gone, whatever. Job gone, you question any of this stuff. I mean, you know, the George Floyd, this guy is like, I mean, obviously he's being held up as a martyr by the BLM crew and all the rest of all these Marxists. And, you know, I mean, it is just to me incredible, right? The guy's being held up as a martyr and by the race hustlers. And we've talked about this in previous shows. And it's a business model, right? It's a fundraising model for these people. They fundraise off of these tragedies. And it's just absolutely sick and disgusting. And why the black population does not disown the Democratic Party, I will never understand. Yeah, I mean, because the Republican Party has done so much more for blacks in the history of this country. I mean, Democrats were the party of Jim Crow. They were the party of racism. They were the party of the KKK. And now they're trying to pretend like, you know, oh, we're here to be your savior as long as you give us the 12% voting block that you are in the country. And we'll keep giving you crumbs and handouts and all the rest of it.
Well, just look at the millions going to the BLM crew. And we've already talked about how the CEOs of BLM are now living in multi-million dollar mansions up in the Topanga Canyon. I love that one. Jeez Louise. Catch a clue, for heaven's sakes. Is it going to make anybody's life better in Detroit or, you know, Brooklyn Heights there?
No, exactly. Whatever. And the thing, and just lastly on the Floyd thing, I was going to say that the autonomous zone, the George Floyd autonomous zone, they sort of use that lingo from Seattle with the BLM crew up there, the Antifa people. You know, that zone still exists. So even though the trial's over, and by the way, Chauvin is going to appeal, obviously, the officer. And frankly, I think he has a very strong grounds to win on appeal. But we won't get into that today. But anyway, the autonomous zone still exists. Tons of crime, dude, going on in there. Minneapolis,
in every blue city.
Cops won't even go there.
Right.
And they're actually, there is a wave across the United States right now of policemen who are retiring. They're taking early retirement. They're like, F this, I'm done. I'm taking my early package. I'm taking my vacation. I'm 45, 50. I have kids. I'm out. I'm not dealing with this. Seattle has lost 200 cops. NYPD, from what Dan Bongino has been saying, in June is going to lose thousands. June is the pension cutoff time, apparently. So there's literally thousands of cops who are going to walk in New York City as of that. And we're going to see this across the country. So, you know, folks, when you're thinking about it, where you want to live in the United States, choose wisely. That's all I can say.
Yeah, the Marxist ideology has just filtered into every public sector. And, you know, you got kids, you're a little more on the aware of this than me, but the whole push of this critical race theory in America's schools, in our corporate boardrooms.
Yep.
I don't know where it's going to stop. Are we at the peak now? I don't know.
Because I don't know.
Right,
I
mean, now it's full fledged everywhere you look. You can't avoid it.
They're just pushing down everything that goes on in the universities and the colleges, even lower, right into primary school. If you have a kid in public school I implore you, please look very carefully at the curriculum your kid is getting in public school. Ask the teachers, go talk to the principals, ask to see the curriculum, specifically what is being taught, what books are being read, what is going on, because I'm going to guarantee you, even if you're in a nice school district, like for example, here in San Diego or other places, you're gonna see examples of this critical race theory being taught, which basically, just for folks who are getting up to speed on all this stuff, is, you know, if you're white, you're guilty, and you should be held to account, and you should be embarrassed for your race, and you have reparations, and you have things to make up for forever being an oppressor, and on it goes. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
It's basically child abuse at that point.
It really
And you're right. Forget San Diego, even the Santa Barbara Unified School District. I mean, basically the entire California state school system is just a disaster.
Yeah.
But the pushing of the Marxist agenda.
Yeah,
Has been building up for quite a while, but now it's in the open now.
It is wide open. I obviously exclude places like the New York City and LA Unified. These are not school systems. These are basically, you know, babysitting services paid for by the state to take care of, for the most part, illegals. They're not really school systems. I mean, they're just gigantic Marxist, you know, I mean, you got to go through metal detectors, get into these places. It's like a prison. Ridiculous. It's not a school. It's a joke.
I'm going to end our show this time with one positive thing again about the voting reform. So in the GOP-led Texas State House, they approved a voting reform bill just a few days ago.
Sure. Yeah.
So the 81-64 party line, of course, the Dems don't want any reform going into the whole thing. But now they were going to require election integrity to make sure that watermarking the ballots. And that's obviously a positive because Texas has been closer than it should be the last few times. And this great lieutenant governor down there, his name is Dan Patrick.
Right.
He's terrific. He's got glasses, kind of grayish hair. Yep. He's on Fox News quite often. He's as solid as a rock. And he's basically coming out, not only getting this together, but destroying all the woke companies who are not in favor of this new voting bill. So good for him. And hopefully this spreads throughout the nation.
Well, on the woke stuff, I'll finish off with one story, which is, I think folks are going to love on the woke side of things. You know, Starbucks, you know, our favorite store, Seattle, Starbucks, here we go. Hormone blockers with your latte. So they're considering quitting Facebook because of all the hateful responses to their social posts. I mean, basically, they can't even have a company page up on Facebook now. This has gotten so bad. People are like, this is so ridiculous. So they don't even have enough moderators to get their hands around all the quote unquote hateful speech. In other words, truthful stuff. So whenever you hear hateful, it really is truthful. So, you know, coming out on the page. So they're basically saying, well, we just can't manage this anymore. So we're going to, you know, whether it's Derek Chauvin or George Floyd or whatever. So, you know, we're too busy basically providing coffees to the homeless people outside, letting them use our bathrooms as washing stations. You know, which is why I've never been to a Starbucks, never will. They're disgusting. And then they're terrible eyesores on the community from my perspective. Lots of places to get coffee, people, no reason to go to Starbucks. So, but it's like, I was just reading a couple of posts from some customers here. I have not gone into Starbucks for over a year. I used to go and get at least 2 or 3 times a week. That's like, what, $6 a shot, $18 a week? That's a lot of money. Sure. I'm completely fed up with them pushing their woke agenda down my throat. Like the employees, but I can go spend my money elsewhere. And this, it kind of goes on and on and on, but you kind of get the picture. People are just done with woke platforms like this, and I could not be happier.
Good to hear, Frank. Well, hey, have a great day. And
you too, man. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, take care. We'll see you down the road, buddy.